Claire Anderson is drowning. For 5 years since her husband Wade's death, she's been juggling single motherhood to three boys while desperately trying to keep his media company afloat. When ruthless acquisition specialist Tristan Miles sets his sights on Anderson Media, Claire expects another soulless corporate takeover. What she doesn't expect is the electric connection that sparks between them during their heated first meeting. Her passionate defense of her husband's legacy leaves the normally unflappable Tristan speechless and inexplicably drawn to the fiery widow who dared to say no to him. Their paths cross again at a business conference in France, where antagonism quickly transforms into something far more complicated. What begins as a no-strings weekend affair evolves into a relationship that challenges everything they thought they knew about love, family, and what truly matters in life. Their first encounter is anything but romantic. At Bryant Park Grill, Claire rejects Tristan's offer to take everything off her hands with tearful defiance, leaving him stunned, the first rejection of his career. 6 months later, at a business conference in France, Claire is horrified to discover Tristan is the keynote speaker. Their verbal sparring resumes, with Claire reminding him she once called him a cold, soul-sucking bastard. Yet beneath their antagonism crackles undeniable attraction. At the conference party, Tristan watches Claire with an intensity that awakens feelings she thought had died with Wade. When he follows her to her room under the pretense of studying, tension explodes as he pins her against the wall, whispering promises that make her pulse race. What begins as a casual arrangement quickly deepens. Claire confesses she hasn't been with anyone since Wade's death. Tristan touches her stretch marks and C-section scar with unexpected tenderness, revealing his own insecurities. Their chemistry is explosive, making Claire understand why she instinctively called him Tristan fucking Miles, the middle name functioning as a verb. Their weekend in Paris unfolds like a dream. They wander through the Louvre, debate art, and brave the winter chill to reach the Eiffel Tower summit. At Le Baratin, Tristan orders in perfect French, making Claire's heart flutter. During dinner before the Moulin Rouge, he confesses she's consumed his thoughts entirely. Yet reality keeps intruding. Their lives exist in parallel universes, his in Manhattan's elite circles, hers in suburban motherhood. This contrast becomes painfully clear upon returning to New York. While his chauffeur waits with a Mercedes, Claire trudges through the parking garage to her minivan, complete with crushed goldfish crackers under the seats. When Tristan appears at her office, Claire tries to end things. "You deserve someone whole, someone uncomplicated," she insists. His response, "We're not over till I say we're over," carries equal measures of arrogance and promise. Their casual hookups transform into something deeper, especially when Tristan begins interacting with her sons, Fletcher, 17, Harry, 13, and Patrick, 9. Things reach a turning point when Tristan announces he wants to be Claire's boyfriend, calling for a family vote. Patrick enthusiastically supports him. Fletcher reluctantly agrees, but Harry votes against him. Tristan's bond with Claire's sons deepens profoundly, especially with Harry, who carries the heaviest grief. When Harry disappears during a storm, Tristan finds him at Wade's grave, discovering his ritual of leaving his father's favorite cigars. In a touching moment, Tristan takes Harry to replace rain-ruined cigars. They share a quiet moment at the grave, with Harry formally introducing Tristan to his father. Claire, watching from a distance, realizes Tristan offers her sons something she couldn't, a masculine perspective on loss and permission to remember their father while accepting someone new. Tristan's protection extends to fierce advocacy for the boys' education. He confronts school administrators about Harry's unfairly graded project and Patrick's unaddressed dyslexia, eventually arranging their transfer to Trinity School with its progressive teaching and learning support. Even Muff, the selective family cat who hadn't warmed to anyone since Wade's death, claims Tristan's lap as her favorite spot. Over 7 months, he seamlessly integrates into their daily lives. Despite their deepening bond, a fundamental conflict emerges. Tristan wants to legally adopt the boys after marriage, while Claire refuses, seeing it as a risk that could give him leverage if their relationship fails. During an argument, Tristan expresses his frustration. "You want me to live in Wade's house, with Wade's wife, with Wade's children? Where the fuck is my life?" He doesn't want to be merely a stand-in. When Claire refuses the adoption, he leaves, noting his mother warned him she would never truly be his family. 9 days later, Claire learns Tristan is leaving for Paris permanently and rushes to the airport. She admits hiding Anderson Media's financial troubles. Tristan remains firm. "If I marry you, I want to adopt the boys. It's non-negotiable." When Claire insists her love should be enough, he replies, "It isn't enough." Their confrontation peaks when Claire accuses Tristan of trying to take over her family. Devastated, he responds through tears, "Because I deserve my own family, goddammit, and I love them," before walking away. The situation reaches a dramatic peak when Harry and Patrick use Claire's emergency credit card to fly to Paris. They burst into Tristan's office declaring, "We want you as our dad, and you can't just walk away from us." Though shocked by their dangerous journey, Tristan's heart swells as these once suspicious boys now cling to him desperately. Claire and Fletcher arrive hours later, frantic with worry. Claire appears transformed, pale, tearful, and visibly thinner. In Tristan's office, overlooking the scene, she breaks down. "Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to live, I'll do it. Just don't leave me again." Tristan promises they'll build their future together. The story culminates on a snowy Christmas Eve in Aspen. With the boys as co-conspirators, Tristan creates an elaborate proposal beneath the towering Christmas tree. After Claire's tearful yes, she reveals she's 2 months pregnant. Remembering their conversation about wanting children together, Claire reminds him, "Be careful what you wish for, Mr. Miles. Now you have 4. The final piece falls into place when Tristan resigns from Miles Media after 15 years. He tells his shocked brother he'll take over as CEO of Anderson Media alongside Fletcher, rebuilding the company for Claire's sons. When asked when he'll return, Tristan simply answers, "When my boys are men." The takeover transcends its business premise, becoming an exploration of how love transforms lives in ways no corporate strategy could predict. Both Tristan and Claire discover that true wealth exists in relationships, not possessions. Fletcher's realization that "Dad sent Tristan for us" becomes the emotional cornerstone, suggesting love can honor memory while embracing new beginnings. Sometimes the greatest takeover story isn't about acquiring assets, it's about hearts being captured, one family dinner at a time. Tristan and Claire prove that second chances aren't about replacing what was lost, but finding courage to build something new from what remains.